I have a number of scriptures to read. I hope you'll be very patient with me. We're going to start in Genesis in chapter 3. These are passages that are all well known, I'm sure. The book of Genesis in chapter 3, I want to read the first 7 verses. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And now the Gospel according to John, chapter 9. John's Gospel, chapter 9, again from verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me, while it is day. The night cometh, when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, and made clay of the spittle, and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is, by interpretation, sent. He went his way therefore, and washed, and came seeing. The neighbours therefore, and they who before had seen him that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, A man who is called Jesus, or a man called Jesus, made clay, and anointed mine eyes, and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, Where is he? He said, I know not. If we can just drop down perhaps to verse 24. Then again called they the man that was blind, and said unto him, Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, Whether he is a sinner or not, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Why would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Then they reviled him, and said, Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. Down to verse 34, and the last sentence, and they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he did him homage. And now if we can just go back to Luke's Gospel, and the 24th chapter. Luke Luke and chapter 24, beginning at verse 13. Behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. Came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not recognize him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one with another as ye walk, and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed and word before God and all the people, how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and have crucified him. But we hope that it had been he who should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company amazed us, who were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, who said that he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O senseless and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to have entered into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew near unto the village to which they went. And he made as though he had gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat eating with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us, while he talked with us along the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And finally, if you will come to 1 Kings and chapter 6, I'm sorry, 2 Kings 6. Second book of Kings, chapter 6. And we'll read from verse 8. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel, and took counsel with his servants, saying, In such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, Beware that thou pass not such a place, for there the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him, and warned him of, and saved himself there, not once, nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was very troubled for this thing. And he called his servants, and said unto them, Will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, None, my lord, O king. But Elisha the prophet, who is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. And he said, Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, Behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore he sent their horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, what shall we do? And he answered, Fear not. For they who are with us are more than they who are with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. I hope I haven't read too much but it was just to get the setting of the various passages which you will note refer to eyes being opened. Eyes opened to expose to man his condition before a holy God. Eyes open to a man transformed, redeemed, forgiven, blessed, given new birth, new life. Opened to restore the faint-hearted and the downcast. And open to give assurance. I think all of these things are encompassed in the gospel. And what a gospel it is. And what a message this world needs. Amen. We know that blindness is a condition that affects the whole of the human race, and how it's so illustrated in the blind people that we read of in the Gospels, and we read about the man in John chapter 9. But the great thing about the gospel, the Christian gospel, the biblical Christian gospel, is that it brings us in touch with a God who can deal with blindness in man. And in Genesis chapter 3, we have the beginning of all man's woes, don't we? We have Satan, we have sin, we have sorrow, but we have a sacrifice. We didn't read about it, but we're well acquainted with these scriptures to know what is here. We think about Satan, that adversary, the adversary against God, in all that God has purposed, all that God is, because I think five times we read that Satan, Lucifer, whatever he was called, Isaiah or Ezekiel, I can't remember, but he says, I will ascend. And finally he says, I will be as the Most High. How can that be in the presence of God, whose will alone is supreme, whose will alone determines the course of man's life, of the universe? But what an astonishing thing. He who was the anointing cherub, probably the highest of God's creation, and can't say very much about it, but when you think about being in the presence of God, and serving him, to lift up your heart and say, I will be as the Most High. And we know he got cast out of heaven. And he's found here in Genesis chapter 3 as a serpent. That which comes in a very subtle and crafty way to unsettle the human race as seen in Adam and his wife Eve. Bringing to men the option of doing what they wanted. And sinners come into the world because Satan came and tempted Eve. But Adam, as head of the human race, he fell, and thus it is fallen upon us all to be smitten with the disease of sin. Satan, the god of this world, we read, who has blinded the thoughts of the unbelieving, so that the radiancy of the glory of God in our Lord Jesus Christ might be stopped from shining forth, might be hindered, so that man might not know his God, that he might not know his Creator. We know these things, but what a wonderful thing that God wanted to be known. And today, the heart of God is still towards men. Everywhere, of every colour, tribe and nation, whatever status man may find themselves in, God is seeking to bring his heart of love to them and to bring them to know him. We are so blessed. We have in Christ everything to bring us the knowledge of God. Oh, that we knew him better. But sin, because of disobedience to the will of God, yes, it's still my will. I'll do it my way. How appalling it is to hear people speak about these things in relation to eternal matters. I'll take my chance. I've decided this. Heard a little 13-year-old just today say, I'm an atheist. What an astonishing thing. When God supreme, their creator, the giver of life, has sent his son into this world to bring about a reconciliation. A God who is real, a God who is true, a God dwelling in light unapproachable, who no man has seen or can see. And yet, what a glorious presentation we have of God in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And so we want to think about our Lord Jesus Christ. Just to remind us, though, that sin brings sorrow. These two dear people, they had their eyes opened. From the grandest sphere that God presented to them by way of paradise, they found the depths of sorrow from being away from God. Your sins have separated you from God. We know what it is. It's lovely when matters are put right, isn't it? It's lovely when we can know that our sin has been dealt with. And it's been dealt with because God has sent his Son, even our Lord Jesus Christ, into this world. But first of all, we have to learn what we are in ourselves. And people need to know that. And I don't think we should be frightened of speaking about sin. I don't think that we should hold back when preaching to explain to men the sin and sorrow and sadness that fills our world because of their rebellion, because of man's self-will and the rejection of the will of God. And so the eyes of them both were opened. What were they going to do? Man had lost everything in that. Amazing, isn't it? Man who had everything, absolutely everything for his delight and pleasure. Communion with God, fellowship that could be his life, eternal. But it had all gone when sin came into this world. No fellowship, no eternal life. He came face to face with death. The eyes that opened saw that they were naked. And they were afraid. And that is so, isn't it? For the wages of sin is death. And whatever they wanted to do, whatever they tried to do to remedy the situation was of no avail. For the voice of God was heard, where art thou? I think that's grace too. It's amazing, isn't it? That God would still say to people far away from him, in the depths of sin, where are you? Do you not know my heart of love? Do you not know that I want to bless you? The remedy at God's hand was there. And I believe that wonderful sacrifice there in Eden's wonderful sphere is just a lovely picture of the way God has provided an answer to man's sin. It is, of course, in our Lord Jesus Christ. God intent on bringing man to himself. That is the gospel. for God so loved the world. Where sin abounded, grace has overabounded. And God provided what was necessary. And I believe that Adam heard the word of God as he spoke to the serpent there in Eden. I believe that Adam believed it when God told him that the serpent's head would be crushed from the seed of the woman. I think that was the moment Adam got saved and he brought himself into line with the will of God. Wonderful thing that the gospel does. It presents us with the truth from God's side. Truth that God will bring life to fallen humanity. In the fullness of time, God did send forth his Son, the one who came to effect an eternal salvation. We partakers of it through divine grace. But it all began with God. And we need to see ourselves as God sees us. Mm-hmm. And then we find that God has a sacrifice, a way of escape, a way of forgiveness that will bring eternal blessing to mankind. The acceptance of it opens our eyes, just as it did the man in John 9. I just referred to him briefly, I hope. He's unnamed, but he experienced the blessing, perhaps not of seeing himself as he was before God. I think he would have had some understanding of what it was to be a failure. Maybe that's the wrong word, but he had nothing. He was a beggar. And that pictures, doesn't it, to us, the helpless condition that this man was existing in. The condition of every man and woman on earth without Christ. Once we were there, helpless, blind, begging, in darkness. But isn't it interesting that the Lord Jesus comes along and he sees him. And then he speaks of himself as being the light of the world. And that light, coming into the world, lightens every man. It shines its light upon all men everywhere. And so we support the gospel preaching. We support every effort that is made to bring the light of God into darkened hearts. But here's the Saviour himself. And a man in darkness, physically blind and spiritually blind, has his eyes opened. Wonderful that. I've had the privilege, and I'm sure others have too, of helping blind people. We used to have services for them, deaf and blind, and it's quite something not to be able to see. To rely on someone else for a lot of life's activities. And God just gives us that picture of the human race. Desolate, begging in darkness. Well, the Lord Jesus came, didn't he? And took a path to Calvary that through death he might annul him who had the power of death, that is the devil. And that he might set free those who through all their lifetime have been subject to bondage. And this man have been bound by his blindness. And we look around the world today and we know where we've come from ourselves. Without God, without Christ, hopeless the situation as far as eternity was concerned. But oh, the grace of God. Oh, the compassion as the Lord Jesus takes this little road, this pathway, and he sees this man. And on his own initiative, he makes mud of the spittle and he anoints his eyes and says, go wash. And that's the gospel, isn't it? Be aware of the sin The mud on his eyes would have only made the matter worse for the man, but it would have made him realize how incomplete he was. But somehow, the word of God was effective in his soul, and he obeyed the gospel. And how we love to tell people that Jesus saves. Through obedience and faith in Christ, people can be saved and given new life. Born again. Born of God. Born of the Spirit. Wonderful. The man who sins, if we can use the application, were like scarlet, red like crimson. The prophet says that they can be as white as snow. Have you ever dwelt on that? I'm sure you have. And your heart has lifted. Every stain removed in the wonder-working power of the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. The blood had to be shed, didn't it? When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Judgment was restrained, or not even restrained. Judgment was just not applicable to those that were sheltering under the precious blood. And that lifts our hearts. I think it should do again today. And this man, realizing his need, he went and washed. How very sad that we live in a world where people are aware that something's wrong, that their hearts are wrong. And when you present the gospel to them, they won't obey. They won't go and wash. I'm reminded of Naaman. What an amazing man Naaman was. A Gentile. Just like ourselves. But he had a need. And he knew he had a need. Thank God people were concerned for him. What a precious little girl that was to have in his house. Bearing a lovely testimony to the prophet that was in Israel. She knew a man. And as Christians, we know a man. The man Christ Jesus. And we know that he has the power to heal and to restore and to redeem. And so he sends him on his way. But dear old Naaman, he really nearly missed out, didn't he? He took gifts. He took a letter of commendation. He took his status. And when it came to it, he thought he had better ideas. This is a so current in our world, isn't it? But wonderful, isn't it, when the word of God comes so close. If the prophet said, do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? And he dipped down 7 times into the Jordan. And he came up again, it says, his flesh was a little child. Born again! New life! Eternal life! The Spirit of God, given to empower him, as it did in testimony, and we read that later on. I'll just say that as it comes to mind. How wonderful to wash and be clean. Well, the Lord Jesus tested this man perhaps, but he responded so very quickly. He washed and he came seeing. The testing comes, doesn't it? And I just say this because I feel there are those that we come across, perhaps younger Christians, younger in the faith, they begin to wobble a bit because the old devil doesn't leave us alone. And he tries to chop us down and divert us with one way, one thing or another. Isn't it lovely when the work of God, founded upon the rock of Christ, can bring that solidity of soul when we can say, I know one thing. I know. Once I was blind, but now I can see. His eyes have been opened. And that was the whole purpose of the gospel. That's the whole purpose of Christ Jesus coming into this world. That men's eyes might be open. To see him. And we haven't got time to go into it. But to see him as the Son of God. Wonder of wonders, isn't it? John writes, doesn't he? These things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that in believing he might have life. I'm not quoting it quite correctly, but I think you know the verse. Mm. Chapter 19, is it chapter 19 or 20? But that's the truth, isn't it? We find we live a different kind of life as overcomers. And whatever the opposition may be, and the devil's not going to give up, I really believe we're in the last days. Mm. And he's going to make things very difficult. You may even find that you're not wanted and they cast you out. But what a wonderful thing that Jesus found it. Mm. And I love that. And we find that perhaps in a very precious way when we come to Luke's Gospel chapter 24. I just want to speak about these two very briefly, because Jesus found them too. And I believe he's ever watching us. His eye, I believe, is always on us. And I think with tender heart, particularly for those that are downcast and sad, these dear believers taking a different path. Maybe it was to go to their natural home, but they were bewildered. They were just unsettled. They couldn't understand the current state of affairs, be it in the world or in our homes and families or in our assemblies. We can be so bewildered that we're left downcast and sad. But it says Jesus himself drew near. And he drew near to you today as he would draw near to me. Blessed it be God. We do praise him for his tenderness. We know he appeared to, I think, 11 different occasions, the scripture records, the people that he visited or met in resurrection. But to take into his heart to this couple, I believe they were a man and wife, and you can disagree with me if you like, but the Lord Jesus followed them. He knew when they left Jerusalem, and he knew just the right point to come alongside them. And these people, burdened by all that had taken place, it says, we had hoped. Their hope had gone. Oh, dear Christian friends here today, may we never lose hope.
Amen.
We need to keep our eyes upon our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Everything for them had gone wrong. And sometimes it feels like it. And their conversation, the idea is that they were going backwards and forwards over this and over that, and it was occupying the whole of their journey, the thoughts about what had taken place. How can it be? Puzzled, perplexed. And they heard that he was alive, or at least he wasn't in the tomb, and they'd lost sight of the one who went to Calvary. And they hadn't yet seen the risen Christ, or at least they hadn't come into the realization of it. The death of Christ had left them without hope. Well, it would do, wouldn't it? If Christ be not raised, we're still in our sins. Ah, but he is raised.
Amen.
We believe that. And it's very foundational to our Christian faith. Their eyes were holdened, held by the overwhelming sadness of what had taken place. We thought he was a prophet. No prophet now. The one who brought the word of God to them, that is gone. No redemption for Israel. We're not being critical of these dear saints of God. Perhaps they had missed the point of why the Lord Jesus had come amongst men. They were looking at things from an earthly point of view. And in grace the Lord Jesus comes. And he walks the rest of the journey with them. And he will do that. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Can we cheer our hearts in the knowledge of a Saviour like that? And all the way home, Saviour. I do love that expression. I rejoice in it. never forgets us. Let's have a vision of one who has suffered, who has died, but is alive forevermore. Their eyes were opened as he took bread and broke it, and he vanished from them. Well, we're going to see him. We don't see him corporeally, but we know his presence and we rejoice in him. I believe we must remember that he is alive, that he loves us, that he wants to walk with us. I'm constantly reminded, some of you may have remembered a man called Harold Hatcham from the Beulah Road Assembly in Wimbledon. When I was just a young lad, constantly he would say, "Let thine eyelids, let thine eyes look right on, yeah, and thine eyelids look straight before thee." Proverbs 4, I think. Let thine eyes look straight on. May the Lord keep us in that pathway. And finally, if we have opportunity, may we be able to give encouragement and assurance to a younger generation. This dear man was fearful, troubled. He hadn't got the right perspective. He wasn't as close to God as Elisha was. And in taking up our cross and following our Lord Jesus Christ, in denying ourselves, we're going to be tested along the way, because God loves to prove his own work, doesn't he? And he loves to develop his work. And it's good to have the older one and the younger one. And where we come into contact with those younger in the faith, let us be those that give them some assurance that those who are with us are more than they who are with them. You know the story well, I won't prolong it, but dear Elisha, a man who knew God, it says, the servant of the man of God. And sometimes you do find that people have this question, what are we going to do? How do we get out of this predicament? Look up. Let thine eyes look right on. Because it says, they who are with us, fear not, for they who are with us are more than they who are with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw. All to get a vision from God's perspective. Isn't it lovely that the scripture tells us, if God be for us, who can be against us? May we go forward into this week in the confidence of that. The confidence that there are angels, that God has given us ministering servants to the heirs of salvation. We can count ourselves amongst the heirs of salvation.
Amen.
We've had our eyes open. We've found a Saviour in our Lord Jesus Christ. We've known him to be an all the way home Saviour. And perhaps when downcast and feeling quite empty, he's come alongside us. Our eyes have been opened to the wonder of the person who died and rose again, who gives eternal life to the heirs of salvation, gives assurance by his Spirit, by his word. We are so blessed. I trust these words have been of some encouragement to us, for his name's sake.
Amen.